Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is Emily,
Henley,
and Sammy, and you're listening to Too Scary, Didn't Watch.
Everyone, welcome to Too Scary Didn't Watch, the horror movie recap podcast for those too scared to watch for themselves. I'm Emily, and I am too scared to watch scary movies.
I'm Sammy, and I'm not who usually says anything next. I'm brave. I like watching scary movies, and I'm also sad because our Henley is not here with us today. But
we are sad. We will soldier on for the good of the pod.
For the good of the pod.
For the good of the pod. For the good of the pod. How the heck are you, Sammy? What's up?
Oh, you know, I'm pretty good. One thing that is up with me this week is that I decided on a Monday morning to stop drinking coffee, which was a really crazy thing.
Like forever?
Not forever, no, but for the week. And I had only, at first I was going to try to have no caffeine, and it was just so hard, so very hard. I had a cup of green tea each day, and that wasn't much better. I don't really like green tea that much.
Yeah, it's also not a lot of caffeine.
It's not a lot of caffeine. It was just really crazy, and I just realized how much of a like drug caffeine is, and I understood decaf. I bought decaf coffee beans, which is so crazy, but it was like I need the like ritual of coffee.
Yes, the ritual of it is so special.
My morning felt so sad without it. I was like, well, what do I just
drink water?
Work, drink water, like what's there to look forward to?
Yeah, no, that's tough.
And I haven't been drinking much alcohol, and I was surprised that stopping coffee was like a lot harder for me. And I think it's because coffee is like part of work, right? Because the reason I'm not drinking much alcohol is because I'm working so much and I'm so tired.
Yeah.
And coffee is the answer. It's like usually
coffee's the answer.
Alcohol adds to your tiredness, and coffee is what brings you up on the other side. And I just always thought I was more of an alcohol girl, but turns out I love coffee too.
Oh, no. That makes me think that I should try to pull back, but I just don't want to. I do know.
But I had a cup of coffee this morning, so I don't know if I'm going to do a Sundays or a coffee day. Sorry, but this comes out on a Wednesday. Sorry to confuse listeners.
Sorry to confuse you.
We are recording on a Sunday. I don't know. I don't know what the long-term goal is, but...
Hey, you don't have to know. One day at a time.
Yeah, I just coffee and alcohol, man. They're not good for you.
No, they're really not.
But I like them a lot.
I like them so much. Oh, I like them so much, and it's not good for you. But I like them so much.
It's tough.
Both
man, it's
of
tough.
Them.
Me too.
I want them all.
Mm-hmm. But what's up with you? Anything?
My parents were here last week, which was very cool. Mm-hmm. And one thing that we did, there's not a lot to do these days. A lot of things are closed. And you know, we also, even though there's not a lot that we like, I don't really want to be around crowds in general anyway so much. But
yep,
we did go to Huntington Gardens, which have you been, Sammy?
I just went for the first time recently with Jenna. Jenna is a pass holder.
Of course she is.
And so she gets a free plus one.
Oh, of course she is. Okay, yeah, it's really, I couldn't believe I'd never been. It's so wonderful.
It's really nice.
Listeners, yeah. It's a botanical garden. in Los Angeles. It is 205 acres, I think, or something like that. It's huge. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really just was so lovely to just walk around outside all day.
It feels like being at a zoo with no animals, kind of. Like, you, like, yeah, go and look at, like, each exhibit, which is just, like, different kinds of flowers or plants, and it's all just very pretty.
So pretty.
Less children than a zoo, obviously. Well, there's still a good amount of children.
There's some children, but yeah.
But I feel like a zoo probably, when I said that, brought up maybe a negative thing in people's minds. And this is not, this is nice.
This is nice. This is a nice zoo without animals. What yeah. this is a nice zoo without animals and without as many children. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's this like desert plants, which I know I wouldn't have thought that that'd be the one I was most excited by because we live in a desert. I see desert plants a lot. But oh my God, it was so cool.
Yeah.
It's just so well maintained. They had a gorgeous rose garden. It's just like, wow, gardens.
Yeah.
It's so nice.
I do not have a green thumb. I am a very bad, all my plants die pretty quickly.
Same.
And I also actually went to a garden on Mother's Day with my mom. And I was just like, man, the amount of work that goes into keeping all of this stuff looking good and alive. How do they do it?
How do they do it? And some people really love it and are really good. Like Jenna is like very, very good at it and really enjoys it. Like I know people who truly just, my mom like loves gardening and it's, but I just have never, maybe if I like actively did it, I would, like I think growing vegetables and herbs and stuff is cool because then you can like use them and, but I wonder if doing it would make me love it because also it's very good for you to put your hands in the dirt.
Right. Right. It's supposed to be like a soothing, like grounding, good for your like blood pressure. But yeah, for me,
it's crazy how good it is for you.
I find it very stressful because I feel a lot of pressure and like I'm not good enough at it. And maybe if I got better at it, I would not feel that way. But yeah, for me, gardening is like not fun at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I like looking at the fruits of other people's gardening labor.
Mm-hmm. I like to be in a garden, around a garden. But every time my mom visits or often we talk on the phone, she'll be like, do you have a place where you could have a vegetable garden? Or she was like here and was looking around and was like, you could put your vegetable garden right here. And like, I just don't know that I can. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
But it's cool. And anyway, it was a lovely day. Highly recommend getting out in that fresh air wherever you can.
Yeah.
Summer is upon us. Things are in bloom. It's really lovely.
Yeah, I do need the reminder to go outside.
Truly, I've spent so much time outside and it was just like, oh, yeah, this is great.
It really is nice. Even if you're like, yeah, not doing anything at all. It's just
wandering.
Good to not be cooped up in an apartment for some of the time.
Well,
here we are today, cooped up in our apartments. Let's get into this week's movie, which I am actually incredibly excited about. And it is Teeth, came out in 2007, written and directed by Michael Lichtenstein, starring Jess Weixler, Hale Appelman, John Hensley, and Josh Pace. I have seen this movie before. Oh, it is streaming on Amazon for those who want to watch it. I think you should. I think you're going to like it. I saw it a long time ago and I had forgotten kind of how good it was. And I'm excited that we're talking about it now. This was on a poll that we did recently. It came close to being chosen, but it didn't win. And remember how we promised we would do every movie? Mm-hmm. Here we are.
We are making good on that promise a little bit.
A little bit. One movie at a time. Mm-hmm. Some of the time.
Sometimes
we do other movies that weren't on that list. And that's our right.
And that is our right. Don't get it twisted. We get to choose. You only have so much power.
It's true. Emily, I'm curious. What, you don't know anything about this movie other than that.
I don't know anything about this movie.
Other than that the title is Teeth.
Here's the thing. I know nothing about this movie. The title is Teeth, and that doesn't, I don't like that. And I don't like how eager people were for us to do this movie. Like, for me, that feels like not a good sign. So I'm nervous, but excited because it must be good and interesting. But I am, it makes me anxious.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear your thoughts afterwards. I think you might be pleasantly surprised, but okay. Who's to say?
Me, but we'll wait.
You, later.
Welcome to Cocktail Hour. This week's movie is, dare I say, fun. So we will be having a fun drink to go along with it, and that drink is the Man Eater. This is a tiki drink, so you will need lots of ingredients. But those ingredients are 1.5 ounces of gin, 1/2 ounce apricot brandy, 1/2 ounce orange liqueur, 3/4 ounce lime juice, 1.5 ounces of mango juice, 1 ounce of pineapple juice, 1/2 ounce of orgeat, 3 dashes of tiki bitters. You will shake all ingredients over ice and strain into a tiki mug filled with crushed ice. Then garnish with dried citrus and add 2 straws. So there it is. Enjoy a very festive, fun, and summery drink for a movie that can only be described as an absolute blast. Enjoy. Cheers.
I don't have too much trivia. There wasn't much. I will say that it has 80% on Rotten Tomatoes. 5.4 on IMDb, a little lower than the normal, and 57 on Metacritic.
Okay.
The budget was $2 million, and it made $2.3 million. So
we just made it.
They just made it. And during the filming of the first scene, apparently many of the neighbors around the filming location protested the film because they believed it to be a pornographic film. Just interesting to also, protest. It's like,
yeah, who cares?
You don't know for sure. Also,
you don't know for sure. And also, like, all right, what does it matter to you?
Yeah, very strange.
People are weird.
People are weird.
Is this an American film?
Yes.
Okay.
And that's literally all the trivia I have.
Okay.
Pretty exciting stuff.
I would love to know why they thought it was pornographic. That is kind of exciting.
Yeah. You're about to find out when we watch this trailer.
Okay.
I'm really excited to see your response to this.
No! That really is never good.
All right. What can I do for you, miss?
Is this your first time?
Okay.
So I imagine you have no idea what to expect.
Not really.
Don't worry. I'm not going to bite you. Just lie down. Put your feet right in here. Okay. Are you sexually active?
No, I just want to be checked out.
Okay, then.
I think there might be something weird going on inside.
What did you put in here?
There is something inside of me that's lethal. Dentata.
What?
It's Latin for teeth. It's what's inside me. Are you afraid?
Okay.
All right. Are you feeling more excited?
Yeah.
This movie, I think, rules. I think it rules.
Oh, my God. Oh, I am so excited. Also, I definitely thought that was about to, I mean, obviously what does happen is no good. But I thought that in the beginning of the trailer was going to be a dentist's office. And I was like, I don't.
Oh, yeah.
Dental horror. No, 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 no.
Dental horror. No, no, no.
No, 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 no.
These teeth are in a different location.
These teeth? could get on board with these teeth. I'm thinking I might be a little more interested in these teeth.
I think so.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Yeah, we're going to have some fun.
I can't wait to see how we deal with this because I'm excited, but also just I'm already like, if that were me, that would suck.
Well, there's some workarounds, shall we say.
Oh my God. Oh, I cannot fucking wait.
Mm-hmm. This is a fun one. Ah! Let's do it.
Oh my God, let's do it. Just as a quick, you already mentioned two. Is this written by a man?
Yes.
Interesting. Okay.
Yep.
Men can do things. I just, you know, it's just great. Imagine being like, men can do something. Like men who've been allowed to do everything they've ever wanted since the history of time. Being like, I think that men can do things.
Yeah, I'll allow some of the stuff. No, but it is weird to think of like a lot of what would probably be described as like feminist horror as made by men. It's like confusing and not good. Like, I feel like feminist horror should be made by women, written and directed by women.
I would. Yeah, that would probably be one hell of a thesis paper, is like the study of feminist horror created by men. Feminist content at all created by men would be fascinating.
Yeah, it is really fascinating. And it's a lot. It's a lot to think about. And it's a nothing we'll be able to
sum up
in this podcast.
We will not be doing that now.
I will say a bit of a trigger warning. There are some scenes of sexual violence in this movie. But yeah, let's get into it.
Let's get into it.
You know that scene in horror movies where someone's alone at home, cooking or whatever, watching TV, and a killer is outside watching them through their huge, open, enormous, completely clear windows that for some reason have no blinds or coverings on them whatsoever? Don't let that be you. You need privacy. You need 3-day blinds. They are the leading manufacturer of custom window treatments in the US, and right now they are running a buy one, get one 50% off deal. Just set up an appointment and you'll get a free, no obligation quote the same day. And if you're not very handy, that's not a problem because the expert team at 3-Day Blinds handles all the heavy lifting. They design, measure, and install so you can sit back, relax, and leave it to the pros. I feel like sometimes when you hear the word blinds, you might be thinking of broken, loud, dirty dorm room blinds, but I was just looking at 3-Day Blinds' Instagram, and I can assure you that is not what we are talking about here. These are good-looking blinds, shades, shutters, etc. They have thousands of options for any budget or style, no matter your unique need, whether it's motorization, to home automation, room darkening, or child safety. They're going to have something that's going to look gorgeous in your home, and it's going to keep those prying eyes away so you don't have to live in your very own horror movie. Right now, you can get 3-Day Blinds buy one, get one 50% off deal on custom blinds, shades, shutters, and drapery. For a free, no charge, no obligation consultation, just head to 3dayblinds.com/tooscary. That's buy one, get one 50% off when you head to 3dayblinds.com/tooscary. One last time, that's the number 3daiblinds.com/tooscary.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season 2 of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season 2 is out now from Lemonada Media.
So we start with kind of an overhead shot where we see a suburban looking town near a nuclear power plant, like a Simpsons style, like two big nuclear things.
Great.
And we see the front lawn of a house with a little blow up swimming pool with two kids, young kids in the swimming pool and two adults kind of laying on sun chairs on the lawn. And it's a boy and a girl in the pool. and the boy's kind of being a brat to the girl, and the man from the lawn chair says, I can't remember what his name is now. Hold on, let me look. Oh, that's okay. Brad. Yeah, I'd never even heard that name.
Brad. I've never even heard that name.
I've heard it in life. I did not hear it in this movie. What kind of a name is what, Brad? So the guy calls from the lawn chair. I don't know why I'm trying to like keep it secret that he's the dad. The dad calls out from the lawn chair, Brad, be nice to your sister. And the little boy says, she's not my sister. And he says, she is now, and kind of reaches over to the woman and holds hands. We figure out that these are newly married people, and these are now step siblings, a boy and a girl. And the parents start kind of canoodling, and the kids are left to play in the pool. And from behind, we see the little boy reach down and do something. And the little girl looks uncomfortable. And he says, now show me yours, and turns, and we don't see what happens. And then the parents just hear screaming, and they run over to see what's happened. And like, Brad, what happened? Are you okay? And he shows his finger, and it looks like the top has been bitten off. It's like not fully detached, but it's sliced, and they're like, oh my God, what happened? Dawn, are you okay? And she looks up very innocent, like she doesn't know what's happening. And she's just like, they check her, she's fine. And they're like, what happened? He won't say. And they just, I guess, take him to the hospital. And then we cut to years later, teenage Dawn at a, like kind of a youth group type thing, like on stage giving a speech about the importance of saving your virginity for your husband, and wearing her clothes in this movie are so perfect. She's wearing a shirt, I think, in this scene that says, I'm worth the wait, or something. Like, she's wearing always very like slogans of her promise rings or whatever. Mm-hmm. And very like childish.
Her purity, chastity. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's wearing very childish clothing. This girl also, by the way, this is Jess Weixler. She looks so much like Dakota Johnson. It's very weird. Like, I just could only see Dakota Johnson.
Interesting.
So yeah, she's wearing like a purple long sleeve shirt underneath, like a puff sleeve lighter purple shirt that says I'm waiting on it, and like huge big bell bottoms, and oh just God, these yes. very funny outfits that I was just really loving. So she's giving this speech, kind of talk to the rest of the people in this, I don't know, promise ring youth group thing. And she's kind of asking, like, do you want to just give your special gift to the first girl you meet? And they're all like, no. And she's like, that's right, no. And then she catches eyes with a guy in the crowd who's really cute, and it catches her off guard. And he kind of gives her a flirty little smile. And she kind of loses her spot in her speech and kind of fumbles for a second, and then gets back into it and keeps going. But she was very thrown by that cute guy for a moment. After the talk, after she's done giving the talk, they like go out into the hall. She goes and sits, meets up with her friends. She has two friends that are dating. I don't remember their names, but the guy that's her friend introduces her to the cute guy from the audience and is like, this is my friend Toby. He just moved to town. He's going to be starting school with us next week. And they look at each other. It's like close-ups of both of them. Like, they're taking each other's breath away. And it's just like, Toby, nice to meet you. Oh, Dawn, like, nice to meet you too. Like, they just have this moment of like,
instant.
Yeah. So she goes home after this. I did not grow up in any kind of religion. What is the term? It's like a youth group, right? Probably.
I think youth group.
Youth group. She goes home after this youth group. I'd like tried to join a youth group once because all the popular kids were in it, but not because I cared about it. But I was like, Mom, all the kids go to youth group. She was like, okay, you can go. I don't care. And then very quickly, I think I was like, oh, I don't like youth group. I'm not doing that.
Yeah. I feel like it probably depends, but there was like, what are they called? There's a group that was like Crusaders for Christ or something like that. There's like a name of Christian Crusaders. I don't know. It's crazy, but yeah.
I mean, it doesn't sound.
I think youth group works just as well.
Great. So she goes home after youth group and she's in the bathroom getting ready for bed, and she is in what I would call a nasty nightgown. Not in quite the same way that The Conjuring nasty nightgowns. It's not creepy in the same way. It's very much meant to be her like virginal childlike nightgown. And so she is looking in the mirror and we see a figure in the shower behind her. Like it's one of those like cloudy sliding glass door showers, so we can just see that someone's in there. And she starts to take her nightgown off and is about to go into this shower, and she slides it open and her stepbrother bursts out and like is like, scares her. And he's like, I got you so fucking good. And his vibe is really crazy. He's got like a shaved head and one of those piercings on his like middle of his chin.
Ooh.
And like tattoos. And it's the guy from Nip Tuck. I don't know if you ever watched Nip Tuck, but he was the son on Nip Tuck. Anyways, he's, I don't know, always blasting his heavy metal and shit. That's his vibe. Because he's like...
Opposites.
Opposites. Then the next day at school, I think this is the first day of school. They're starting the new school year. And she has another shirt that says another kind of purity type slogan on it.
Imagine walking around in a shirt that is just letting people know you don't fuck.
I know. It's so interesting.
It's like, it sort of like, make your choice, but it's very strange to be like, here's my sexual status.
Yeah.
And it's right on my shirt. And if you want to know, just read my shirt.
Yeah. I mean, she's very, very much into this. This is her main identity. Is she does
my main identity is I don't have sex.
I don't have sex. And I think having premarital sex is bad. And they like talk about like touching yourself also bad. You don't do that.
Right.
So as she pulls up to school, kind of we see some of the other students at school. There's two guys talking and one like kind of shoves the other and is like, all right, go make your move. Kind of making fun of him that he likes this girl. And as she is walking up, he starts to kind of go try to talk to her. And then all of his friends just kind of gather around and start taunting her like, I'm worth the wait, virgin girl. I don't know, something they're just fucking with her. And she just ignores them and keeps walking. And the guy's annoyed, like, well, you can't like sabotage. Like, I actually kind of like her and I'm trying to talk to her. And so she goes into school and her first class is a sex ed class. And I think the sex ed teacher, it's a guy. And he says, and that's all there is to know about the penis. And now on to the next page, the female reproductive organ. That's what we're talking. And he's like, can't say the word vagina. And then they all turn the page, and on the first page that they're on, it's like the anatomical drawing of a penis. And they all turn the page to the next page of the textbook. And there's a sticker over the vagina, it's like a censored.
That's so funny.
And some of the students are like, why is there a sticker over this? Like, we can't see anything. And he's like, well, it's not appropriate for you guys to see. And they're like, but we just saw the penis. And he's like, that's totally different. And they're like, well, how? And Dawn raises her hand. And she says, I think I can explain how. Women have a natural purity. And it's natural that we protect our like people can't see our privates. It's not decent. And Toby is in this class and he is like completely enamored by her, and he doesn't like the, because people start making fun of her again, and he's like, no, she's right. Yeah. And like gives her a, he's trying to be supportive of her, and just kind of, you can tell he doesn't like totally, he's not as much
intense
of a tense about the purity thing, but he just likes her and he doesn't want anyone making fun of her. So he kind of stands up for her. And she is very, flattered by that. And again, they have their little flirty eyes. So after school, the four of them, her two friends and Toby, go to the movies, and they're looking at the movie listings. And she's like, well, we can't even see the PG-13 one will still probably have heavy petting. Like, we better not. And so they go see like a cartoon movie.
Oh my God. Animated,
whatever the rated G one is. And we see that the friends, Don's friends that are a couple, are kind of starting to kiss a little bit in the movie theater. And we see that Toby is kind of wanting to do the same thing, but Dawn has her purity ring on, her promise ring, excuse me. And I guess it's the same. Both could work. She has her promise ring on, and she's very like, you could tell she really likes Toby as well, but she is like, no, like I can't purity. And so they don't, but they just like sit and kind of are really horny next to each other. Then we get a look at her brother back at home with his girlfriend, and he's like got a Rottweiler in a cage in his room. He's blasting his heavy metal. There's like posters all over the walls. It's like smoking a cigarette. And his girlfriend looks at his finger and says, what happened? And he's still got this bad scar on his finger. And he said, he kind of looks at it and says, I think she bit me. And his girlfriend is confused, says, who bit you? And he says, Dawn. And she's like, oh, your sister bit you? And he's like, yeah, I think so. And they just kind of leave it at that. And then we see them have sex, and like they finish having sex, and she says to him, like, you know, we could have, or I don't know why you always want to do it that way. Like, other guys have liked just having regular sex with me. We could do that. And so we realize that he only has anal sex with people, and because he is scared.
Yeah.
And then we see, after the movie gets out, Dawn and her friends and Toby go out into the woods, and there's this like very beautiful lake in the middle of the woods, and they're kind of looking at it, and it looks like if you swim in the lake, there's this little like cave, little place you can swim into that has a little ledge inside. And her friend tells her that's where people go to have sex there. And it's all very scandalous. And they're like, oh my God, oh my God.
Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
And they split off into couples, and just Dawn and Toby go and sit and talk to each other. She's talking about how, I can't remember if he asks her if she is a virgin, but she's like, of course I'm a virgin. So it comes up and she's like, yeah, of course I'm a virgin. It's really important to me. Like, are you a virgin? And he says, yeah, yeah. In his,
yeah, 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 for sure.
He says, in his eyes, yes, in his eyes. And
great loophole, Toby, great loophole.
And you can see she is upset by this. Says, like, what do you mean? And he says, there was one time and I regret it. And like, I've since taken the vow, and I won't do it again. I'm saving myself for marriage now. And she's like, well, you know what? Maybe that's good. Like, you've seen the power of like how strong that temptation can be, and now you know how powerful that is, and all the more important it is to avoid that. And he's like, yeah, like totally. Like, I totally feel that way.
Yeah, I agree. I don't want to have sex again. I definitely don't want to.
I did not like it. And I don't want to do it again.
And I'm not thinking about it right now. And I could never be thinking about it.
Then they go home. She goes home that night and we see her. She is having like sexual fantasies about Toby. She has a big crush on him. She's laying in bed and you see her take her hand and slowly move it down towards her vagina. So slowly. And we see what she is thinking about. She's getting little images of her and Toby at a wedding altar getting married. And then we like go back to her. And now she's in a she's imagining herself in a wedding dress currently. And she's just having all these like very just like specific wedding specific fantasies. But then at the last minute, like as she gets like into her underwear, she changes her mind. Oh my God, it's so indecent. We can't touch ourselves. And she changes her mind. The next day we see Toby in class and they are giving, the teacher is talking about how rattlesnakes evolved to have the rattle.
Mm.
And they're kind of talking about how, like, did it just happen overnight one day or did it happen slowly over the course of a million years, whatever. And she's like, nobody really knows, but the fact is like that's how evolution works, if like that's what you believe in, because obviously there's a lot of like very strong Christians in this class. And Dawn arrives late into class looking like really flustered, and you know the teacher kind of gives her shit, and then they go to their next class and it's gym and we see Toby in the boys' locker room and Dawn in the girls' locker room. They're both like in their underwear and you kind of see them like they're on opposite sides of the same wall and just longing for each other, and they're in their underwear and Dawn calls him and he answers and he's like, oh, he's just thinking about you. And she's like, I was just thinking about you too, but I think we can't see each other anymore. Like, not even in a group, not even with friends. Like, it's too intense. And he says, like, I was thinking the same thing. And she's like, we're so in sync. Like, we're on the same page. Like, and so they decide to break it off.
Break what off, guys?
I know. They hung out one time. but so then back at home later that night, she has a talk with her brother where she says, why aren't we close? And I can't remember like where this comes from, but she gets kind of like, I think he's just an asshole to her, and she's like, why are you always an asshole to me? Like, why can't we be like brother and sister? Like, why can't we be close? And he like stares at her for a second and says, you know why? And she says, no, I really don't. And we kind of think maybe she doesn't remember. She's younger than him. She looked like she was probably 4 and he was 6 or 7.
Mm.
So she might not even remember this. And so she looks genuinely confused and is like, whatever. It storms out. And her parents are fighting and her mom is sick. I can't really remember with what, but basically she feels like she has nobody to talk to and she's upset from this fight with her brother, and she calls Toby and she says, I need to see you. And she goes to meet up with him because she needs to vent about her brother. And she's wearing a shirt that says, this is a shirt I really want. It's a bright yellow shirt and it says warning with like the warning symbols. And it says sex changes everything. I love it.
Oh, that is good.
It was very funny. So they go back to the lake where they were before and they're sitting kind of in the woods and she's kind of, you know, telling him that, venting her frustrations to him. And he's very attentive, listening to her, comforting her. And as he kind of has his arm around her, they turn to face each other, look in each other's eyes, and they kiss. And then they start making out, and he goes to touch her boob, and it's a little too much for her, and she kind of gets a little overwhelmed, and she pulls out her purity ring. She like shows him her purity. He's wearing one as well, and they cross their like hold hands, crossing fingers, so their purity rings are next to each other. And she's purity, purity, purity. He's like, yeah, purity. And then she says, I brought my bathing suit, and it's still daytime, and they like hop in the water. They are swimming around in the lake. They're being flirty. He's splashing her, and there's a little rope that they can hold on to. They hold on to it, and they're making out some more. And then she swims into the cave and like hoists herself up on the little ledge and gets really cold and sees that there's a blanket there, blanket and pillows. And he's like, oh, fuck yeah. Starts swimming in and starts climbing up. She's like, no, stay down there. I'm just cold. Like, I'll be back in a second. He's like, well, I'm cold too. And she's like, okay, fine. And he comes, crawls up next to her and gets under the covers with her. And they start kissing some more, and he again like goes to touch her boob, and then like reaches for her pants, and she's like pretty into it, and kind of takes her top off as well. She's like, okay. And then she like, once it gets a little too far, she's like, no, never mind, like, this is too much, I can't do this. And he flips and attempting to rape her, and he like pins her down, and it's on rocks, and she hits her head, and it kind of like knocks her briefly unconscious. And in that time, he starts to rape her, and she comes back like to, and like realizes what's happening and starts freaking out. He holds her down. And then he just starts screaming, and she doesn't know what's happening, and she looks really scared, and he jumps back, and he looks really scared, and the camera pans down, and we see that his penis is gone. And he looks down, it looks at her, they're looking at, like, there's so much screaming, everybody's screaming so loud. He looks down, sees his penis on the on the rock, and he like kind of stumbles, falls back, or, like, goes to leave and jumps like into the water, and she just is completely paralyzed with shock of what just happened, and just basically sits like staring up at the top of the cave for like 2 minutes and just can't look, and then looks down and sees the severed penis and looks back up and he's like, ah, sees like just one little glance at the penis. And so she sits there for a long time because she can't deal with what just happened. Obviously, it's very intense.
My God.
And eventually she kind of peeks out over the ledge and says, Toby. And she doesn't answer. We don't know where he is. And she eventually jumps down, swims back, gets dressed, and goes home. And she's so freaked out.
He left his own penis there. Okay.
I know. And she goes home and takes a shower and is thinking about inspecting her own vagina. She's kind of sitting on the ledge of the bathtub.
And, I mean, at least get a mirror.
Right. She didn't get a mirror. And she doesn't go in. She doesn't inspect it because she's scared. Rightfully so.
Rightfully so.
We don't know what's going on. So the next day, her friends pick her up to go to youth group. And they're like, you'll be great today. And she's completely out of it. And it's like, what? What do you mean? And she's like, with your talk. Like, you'll be great. Just speak from the heart. Like, what you always say. And she's like, oh, fuck. Like, I have to give that another talk. And they say, Toby will be really excited. He's like coming. He'll be excited to see you. And she's like,
I don't know.
She's like, Toby's coming. You spoke to Toby. And he's like, well, yeah, a couple of days ago. And she's like, oh,
Things have changed.
Yeah. So they get there and she gives her speech and it goes really, really badly. She's clearly, her mind is elsewhere. And eventually the pastor, what youth pastor comes up and is like, okay, like you can, that's, thank you.
Wrap
so,
it
thank,
up, wrap
thank
it
you
up.
So much for this talk today. And we see back at home, her brother curled up in his bed, sucking on his finger that has the scar on it in like a fetal position. Like he's just sucking the finger. Oh God.
No.
After the youth group, the kid from school that was kind of trying to flirt with her in the beginning goes up to her and asks her out. He works up the courage and he decides to ask her out. And she starts laughing because this crazy thing has just happened. And she's like, realizes that she is making him feel insecure. And she's like, oh my God, no, I'm sorry. Like, not, it's not you. It's just like, it's just really funny. Like, this timing is really funny. And he drives her home and she doesn't really answer if she'll go out with him or not. And she just gets out of the car and kind of like, it's like pretty funny that you asked, like, okay, thank you for the ride. Bye. Like she's still just like in another world. And then the guy, he starts to drive off and then he decides like, no, wait, I'm going to go back and talk to her. Goes back, parks the car, knocks on the door. The brother answers, Brad, and he's like, oh, I'm here to talk to Dawn. And Brad's like, no, you're not. Get the fuck out of here. And punches him in the face. Like, you can't talk to Dawn. And punches him really hard. And the guy just runs back to his car and gets in and drives away. Dawn doesn't know what to do. Toby was not at the youth group, by the way. And
no.
And so she's getting...
Didn't expect him to be.
She's getting... more worried about Toby, and she goes back to the lake to kind of see if she can see anything there. And she goes back and swims back out to the little ledge place and sees his severed penis still there, now with a crab on top of it, like pinching it. And she screams and swims back off and runs back home. And she then takes her anatomy book and fills the sink with water and takes the page that has the big sticker censoring the vagina and soaks it like slowly and to be able to dissolve the sticky part, and is able to slide the sticker off to reveal the anatomical drawing of the vagina. And the music in this part is so, it's like as she sees it, like harps start playing. It's like, oh, it's like very heavenly music. Her first look at a vagina in textbook. So she's trying to do some of her own figuring out what's going on. Here we get a sort of a research montage. She Googles female genital mutations because that's what they were talking about in school with the rattlesnake. So she has just been learning about mutations. And the first thing that comes up is vagina dentata. And she clicks on it, reads about vagina dentata. It's like a myth about teeth in a vagina developed as a defense mechanism that only, like, it says something, I can't remember it's not like a knight, but it's like only like the correct person can like save you from this, or so. It's like almost like a fairy tale type of thing. Like if you like find the right suitor, then you'll be healed or something like that. So she is freaked out and decides to go to the gynecologist. And her gynecologist is a man, which is crazy. And there's so many male gynecologists, and I've never been to one, and I don't think I ever will.
No, I wouldn't want to.
And it's just, I mean, I guess there was a time when every job was
all
a man.
All doctors were men. Yeah.
So I guess it makes sense that there are still men gynecologists, but I don't know. I'm not fond of it.
I'm not fond of it.
But so she goes. She's obviously very nervous. This is her first time going to a gynecologist, and he is very weird about it and not at all comforting. He's like, first time, like, prop your feet right up here. Like, I'm not going to bite you. Which, of course, she's worried about biting him. It does the thing where if you've been to a guy, I mean, I know you've been to a gynecologist, but it made me laugh because I feel like this happens every time where he's like, okay, scoot down, scoot, 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 like scoot, scoot. Uh-huh. And she like scoots. Yeah. He's like, no, further, further, keep scooting, keep scooting. And like, it goes on for a while. And he's like, no, keep scooting. You got to go further. And I'm like, damn, that really does happen every time. Cause I'm always like, no, no, this is far. Yeah. This is
no,
far
I'm
enough.
Stay away.
This is far enough.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever once gotten it on the first try.
No, they're like, no, a little bit. Yeah, no. I'm always like,
end of the table, end of the table. But like this far, but like this far. You surely can't mean this far.
No, it's crazy. This is madness.
That's crazy.
And he's asking her, you know, are you sexually active? And she says, no. And then after a moment, she says, well, yes. And she says, but I just want to get checked out. I just want to make sure basically everything's normal down there. And he's kind of like laughing.
No reason.
He's kind of laughing at her. And yeah, I'm like, I'm kind of at this point, I'm like, I feel like I would be like, something really bad happened.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know. Anyway, so. And she does say, like, I think something might be wrong down there. And he's like, I'm sure it's all fine. Like, we'll take a look. We'll get you checked out. Throw your feet up here in these little socky stirrup.
Stirrup. Throw your feet in the syrup.
And she does. She's very nervous. He inserts the speculum and starts looking around and he's like, okay, it looks okay. And you see her starting to get like more nervous and he says, okay, we're just going to test your flexibility, which like, that's not a thing gynecologists say, right?
No.
No. And he starts, I guess, like expanding the speculum and says like, wow, you're tight, which is very horrible, and I hated it.
No.
And you see her getting like really uncomfortable, and she's like, ow, like that hurts. And he is like putting his fingers inside, and he says like, what did you put it, what's in here? And he's reaching in, and then you just hear him screaming, and she starts screaming, and his hand is like stuck in her vagina, and he's like trying to pull it out, and she's screaming, he's screaming, they're like, he's kind of trying to flail around the room, and he eventually like breaks free, and she jumps up and stands up, and his four fingers are missing.
Ew.
And he's screaming and screaming, and she stands up, and we see from like profile all the fingers drop out of her vagina. And he looks. He looks and he screams, it's true, vagina dentata. Oh god. Ugh. And she screams and she runs out and she leaves. And as she is driving home, she drives past the lake and she sees police and detectives pulling out Toby's body from the lake. So we see that he died that day of blood loss, presumably, and had drowned in the water.
Holy shit.
And she goes home and her mom has collapsed. And needs to be rushed to the hospital. So she like she finds mom and dad all rushed to the hospital. She's crying and doesn't know what to do and needs again. So she has no one to talk to. She can see that her dad is very overwhelmed. Her brother obviously like won't talk to her. So she goes to that guy's house that had asked her out on a date. He seemed like a nice guy. And she basically comes up and says, I have no one to talk to. And he's really sweet to her. He like gets, he like puts a blanket around her. He's like, it's okay. Like I can help you. And what do you need? And she says, something's going on with me. It's called dentata. And he says, what's dentata? And she says, it's Latin for teeth, and kind of vaguely explains what she thinks is going on. And he doesn't, he kind of, it obviously doesn't like really believe her, and is like, okay, like, but anytime she's offended or whatever that he doesn't believe her, he's like, no, like, okay, I believe you, like, that sucks.
Yeah, it sucks.
Totally sucks. And he like draws her a bath for some reason, a big bubble bath. This is the cover image where she's like half in the bubble bath at their like head. It's a really cool shot. And she's just soaking in the bath, kind of talking to him. He's like, I'm not looking. I'm like bringing you this. My mom takes these for her nerves. I'm like, you seem really stressed. And so here you go. And she like sticks her hand out like, yes, please. Thank you. And then as she like gets out of the bath, she's wrapped in a towel, and she comes into the room, and he has lit so many candles. And then she starts to seem really out of it, like she may have been drugged. I mean, he gave her a thing that was for her nerves, but now she's kind of like, where are my clothes? And he's like, that's fine, like just lay down, and lays her in the bed in just her towel. And he says, yeah, the pill might have made you feel a little bit fuzzy. And she's like, it's okay. Like, I feel nice. It feels nice. And like lays down, and they start kissing. And she's like somewhat into it. She's kind of kissing him back and feeling happy about it. And then something so bad happens. First, she like fully passes out and wakes up to him using a vibrator on her. So she like wakes up having an orgasm, I think. And it's just, it's bad.
No. Oh my God.
And she is, but wakes up and it's like seems into it and is like,
so what high school boy owns a vibrator?
I know. It's very weird. It seems like he has really been planning for this moment, is the way that it is presented. Like he has all of his things at the ready. And then they start kissing, and he pulls out a condom, and she kind of for a moment is like, well, remember, like I told you, we can't do that. And he's like, no, like it's gonna be fine, like I'm conquering them, because that was like what she told him the myth was, like you can have like a conqueror. And so they start to have sex. She's like, okay, they start to have sex, and they have sex, and it goes fine and nothing happens, and she's really happy, and they're kissing, and she's like, oh my god, like it's true, you conquered him, you did it. So we come to understand that when she feels threatened is when it happens.
But I think she should feel threatened
I think she would if she were in her right mind. She is still like drugged now. And so they go to sleep, and well, she passes out and wakes up the next morning, and she's seemingly in good spirits about this. She's like happy that maybe this isn't, you know, she can have sex with someone without it ending in a chopped off penis. That is good news to her. She's happy. She's happy about that. And so they and she like in the morning gets up and goes and like looks at her naked body in the mirror and is kind of touching herself. We see her kind of feeling good about her sexuality. And she goes back into the room. They start to, have sex again. And his phone rings and he answers it and she gets mad and she's like, what are you doing? And we hear him on the phone say, yeah, no, I'm not fucking with you. Like, she's here right now. And you hear the voice on the phone say, no, no, she's not. Prove it. And he holds the phone to her and says, say something, say something. And she's like, what? And you hear the voice on the phone be like, oh, and he's like, I told you, I fucking told you. And he hangs up the phone and she's like, what was that? And he says, well, my friends and I had a little bet that I would be able to have sex with the promise ring girl. And I was just like, I did it. And we did it. And she, her face gets so mad. And then we hear the little, a little noise, a little snip sound. And he starts screaming. And she has cut off his penis. And she's
so he took this phone call while he was still inside of her.
Yes, exactly right. It's
what an idiot.
Yeah, it's not good. And she storms out. She grabs her clothes, storms out, and we get a full close up of this chopped off penis, like squirting blood out onto the bed. Ugh. It's pretty gross. And he like turns and yells, "Mom!" we see back at the hospital, her mom passes away, and the dad completely freaks out. And for some reason, his first order of business is to go home and kick out his son from the house. He's like, the son is in his 20s and is clearly a problematic kid and just like causes them a lot of stress, and so I think he's directing his grief and anger at like at the son, and he's like, get to like, you got to get out, like, what are you, didn't you never even, because it's not his mom.
Yeah.
And so he's like, you never cared about her, and so you can't live in her house anymore, like you got to go. Ugh. And he lets his Rottweiler out of the cage and like sicks him on the dad, just like the dog basically is on top of the dad, like growling in his face, not biting him or anything, but we know that Brad has like a command he could say at any moment to kind of, or to make the dog kill the dad essentially. And the dad is very scared and pleading with Brad, and like, I know you never, I know you missed your mom. I know you loved your mom. And like, I don't know, you've stayed so mad at me your whole life. You've been so mad at me because of your mom. And he says, I don't give a shit about my mom. He's like, you made her my sister. And he's like, what are you talking about? And Brad's face kind of crumples. And he says, you made her my sister. And I loved her. I was in love with her, which is like, you were six. Seems very creepy.
And you touched her without her permission.
Yeah, there's a very much, he is inappropriate with the sister. And I think he said something to her in earlier in their fight where he's like, I always knew like you're saving yourself for me or something. Like he like hinted like she wears a promise ring because she only wants to have sex with him. It's all very gross.
Ugh.
But the brother doesn't sick the dog on him. He changes his mind, makes the dog go back in the cage. And then, the dad goes back to the hospital and is crying. And, the girlfriend was there when this happened, by the way. The girlfriend witnessed this and is like, okay, I got to get the fuck out of here. Like, this guy is not well. And so they both go to the hospital and Dawn comes back to the hospital as well. So they all kind of reconvene there. And the girlfriend, Brad's girlfriend, says to Dawn, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Like, I didn't know he was like that. And Dawn is basically told, I guess, that what just happened. And She is just angry about everything and fucking mad, and gets this determined look at her in her eyes. And she is like, all right, like, I gotta go. I'll see you guys later. And marches home and puts on a sexy dress and does her makeup, puts on mascara, and then busts in her brother's room. And he's in there. And she like looks at him like alluringly. And he's very thrown and is like, what was happening? What's going on right now? And she's like, we always knew it would end this way.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
And he's like freaked out, but obviously into it. And he's like, okay. And she gets on top of him and he like tries to flip her over to do anal, his favorite. And she's like, no, like, we can do it this way. Like, it'll be fine. Which is like, he knows it won't be, and I don't know why. But he's too caught off guard by how badly he wants to fuck his sister.
Ugh.
And so he does it, and she kind of like she just is like staring at him unblinkingly, like not pretending to enjoy the sex. It's very unsettling, just like watching him have sex with her. And he kind of was like, what? And then she does it. She chops off his penis, and he doesn't scream. He just kind of looks, he stands up and like looks shocked, and she gets up, the penis falls out. It has a Prince Albert, is that what they're called? A penis, yeah. Piercing. And the Rottweiler is out of the cage.
Oh no.
And it goes and it eats his penis. And he's like, no, my penis. And it just cuts to her riding her bike, in her kind of, it's like this dress. It's sexy, but still, it's white. It's kind of like a Renaissance dress. I think the costuming in this movie is really, really good, and the music. I think this movie is great. So, but it's like a lace up side, like Renaissance dress, all white, lacy, and so it's like sexy, but still very, very virginal looking.
Mm-hmm. Like what this girl thinks is the sexiest
mm-hmm,
dress,
mm-hmm. And she is riding her bike down the road, and she gets a flat tire, and she just very fearlessly sticks out her thumb to hitchhike, which I thought was very fucking cool, because obviously hitchhiking is fucking terrifying if you're a woman, and she is not scared anymore. And she gets a ride with a very old man. I think she's tried to get back to the hospital or so. I can't remember where she's going, but he pulls off not where she wants to go and looks at her. This is a really old man, like 85, 90, like very old, and has like maybe no teeth. And he pulls over on the side of the road and locks the doors from the inside and turns to her. And she's like trying to open the door and looks at him, and he like literally licks his lips at her. He's like, and she like tries to get out again, and then she realizes that she doesn't have to get out, and she like flips her hair over her shoulder and looks at him and just gets this look in her eyes like, all right, like, let's do it then,
your choice. Yeah.
And that's the end of the movie.
Ah!
And then in the credits it says, no man was harmed in the making of this film.
Oh my God. Holy shit.
Not what you were expecting, huh?
No, I loved it. I fucking loved it.
It's really good. I recommend it. It's on Prime, and it's really funny, and it's just really good. I think the music in it is really good. Every part of it was really good. I had a great time watching it, and I highly recommend it.
Wow, that was cool.
It's very cool. And like, developing a defense mechanism against rape is just a very interesting concept.
It's cool that, yeah, at a certain point she could like control
yeah,
it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's very cool.
Ooh, yeah, it's good. And I'm glad we did it. What a fun
one. Oh my
God,
yeah. I'm really glad we did. That was, I like it so much more than
I kind of was
expecting.
I thought that you might. It's a good one. Yeah. Wow. Listeners, just some behind the scenes info for you. We recorded 4 episodes in a row today.
Oh my God.
And this is our 4th. And so I think we're both ready to go take a nap or just.
Yeah, I think I'm going to take a bath.
Yeah.
That, you were talking about that bubble bath. And I was like, okay, yeah, that yeah, seems yeah, like what yeah. I could do.
Yeah, that sounds nice. Listeners, why don't you go do something nice for yourselves, too?
Go do something nice for yourself. Just go do something nice for yourself.
You freaking
now.
Deserve it.
You really do.
And I had a great time today, Emily, with you talking about these 4 different things.
I had a great time today, too. Really, I just got to hang out with my friends, mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. I also am ready to take a bath. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Me, too. Look at my cat is laying on the couch. I think I might go sit on that couch with him and play a game of Sudoku, which I am completely addicted to. And
ooh,
it's not good, but it sounds really good to me now.
Sounds good. Go do it, Sammy.
I'm
going to
do it. Listeners, we love you very much. And voices? What's a voice? No voice, I don't think.
No voices.
Just regular voices, I guess.
I guess. That's what you're going to get.
That's what you're going to get from all of us here at Too Scary Didn't Watch. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Too Scary Didn't Watch. If you are a fan, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Give us a rating or a review. It really helps drive people to the show. And follow us on social media at TSDW Podcast. Become a patron at patreon.com/TSDW Podcast if you want even more content like bonus episodes and trailer reactions and other check-ins from us. And as always, we will see you right here next week with another episode. We love you all so much. Have a great week. Bye.